Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dogs, cats, birds, and rats, welcome to another episode of the Completely Mental Misadventures of Owning a Thrift Store. I am Matt Lehman, the owner of Finders Thrift and Vinyl in La Quinta, California, where almost all of our tales of mystery and mayhem are produced and warehoused. As always, to my right, your left, is the Flintstone to my vitamins, Frankie Ramirez.
The Flintstones of my vitamins. What's up, everyone?
And for the second time, to my left, your right, is our friend Jose Ramirez. No relation.
We still haven't figured that out.
No DNA. No DNA testing has been done.
As for you are.
So we are getting back into Jose's. When we last left our intrepid traveler, he had picked up 5+ truckloads of stuff from an estate sale company that was looking to double down on their adventure or from their purchase. Basically, an estate sale company will come in and wipe out your estate and get rid of it, and they promise to have your estate quote-unquote broom swept, which is the legal term, meaning they will take absolutely everything out of it, broom sweep the rooms, maybe vacuum it, and walk away from it. And then the house is yours to clear from probate or to sell and stuff like that. Well, a company had come in and Jose had gone to an estate sale and found out that they were looking for someone to clear it out. And they heard that he would take everything for them real quickly. And they said, will you broom sweep it too? And he said, well-ish, sort of, whatever, I guess, maybe kind of thing. And he picked up 5 truckloads of stuff. And that's where we left off. Jose, take it over.
That's right. So, not exactly broom swept, but I told him, I just promised I was going to take all the stuff out, you know. And so we did. And like I said, we started taking all the stuff out, a bunch of antique furniture and an old crusty couch.
Now, at this point, crusty couches is our specialty. Now, were you dealing with the estate sale company, or were you dealing with the owner of the estate at this point?
At this point, interesting. Because now I gotta, you know, think back a little bit. And
for the most part, you were dealing with the estate sale
part. I was dealing with the estate. No. Here's the thing. When I came to pick up all the stuff, and thanks for reminding me that, because, you know, we're gonna leave some details out. But so I originally did the deal with the estate company.
Right.
And when I came to pick up all the stuff, the owner of the property was still there.
Not unheard of.
But here's what's interesting.
That's a tough way to run an estate sale company, because you don't really, unfortunately, and I deal with this quite a bit, is I have a lot of people, and I didn't expect this when I opened my business, is I have a lot of people that come in and try to sell me stuff or want to sell me stuff. But the problem is there's no point in me buying it, because they want retail or close to retail for it, and I can just go buy a storage unit for $400 and buy a 10x10 storage unit, whereas you want me to buy your dining room table for $400 so I can make $500 on it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point in me to invest $400 to make $100. So,
yeah.
So it's very weird to see. My point was, it's very weird to see someone that owns the estate at the sale, because they tend to get a little upset when they see their possessions or their family's possessions selling for what is pennies or quarters on the dollar, but realistically,
nevertheless, picking them up as a donation.
Worse, picking it up. Yeah, someone just coming in to take it because it's got to go.
So here's what happens.
You came in as Satan with your little red cape and your pointy mustache, holding your dick.
And here's what really happened. So the owner of the estate was still trying to sell stuff as quick as she can, right?
Which you can't blame her.
No, by all means. So what happened is I start, before I even pick up stuff and take them to my truck, I ask her, can I take this? Or are you going to try to sell it? And she was like, no, take it.
Great.
Can I take this, or are you going to sell it? No, leave that one behind, because I still have somebody who's interested in coming and get it. For sure. So, I mean, that's perfect. I mean, understandable. So I, you know, every single item I took to my truck, I first had to go through the owner and ask her, and, if it was okay.
And that's a sign of a very, very smart businessman, especially in this business. If you listen to the other podcast where I talked with the lady that donated stuff to my shop, and I did the same thing, but unfortunately, you don't equate crazy into the equation, and you don't understand that.
Yeah.
You think you're dealing with a normal person, and at this time you thought you were.
At this time, I thought I was dealing with a perfectly
sane,
sound mind.
Because you forgot you were living in the desert.
I forgot I was living in the desert. And so anyways, every single item before I put it in my truck, I would ask her, is it okay if I take this? And she would say yes. Can I take this? No, I would leave it behind. So that's how we started picking up stuff, right? So we ended up putting in our truck, like I said, 5 truckloads. And the last piece was the dirtiest, nastiest couch you can imagine. But it was a good couch. It was
good leather couch.
Good leather couch. High-end couch. But it was just nasty. It was just, you know, like I said, cat puke.
If I'm not mistaken, you had said you had a leather couch, and I was like, ooh, send me pictures of it. Because we were looking for a leather couch for Chelsea. We are still looking for a leather couch for Chelsea for the living room.
Yes.
Because she's very picky. We've brought in several couches, and none of them seem to acquiesce her desires. And you sent me the picture, and I was like, oh, no, no, no. And then I saw it after, and I was like, oh, wow, that's actually not a bad couch. But when you sent it to me, I was like, I'm offended that you would send me pictures of that couch. If you think that that couch would be in my house, I'm offended that you think I am that dirty of a person.
It was just disgusting. It was nasty. But it started coming out really nice because it was a high-end leather couch. And I was just not kind of, you know, that real leather. So anyways, after 5 loads, and we worked so hard, me and my wife taking all the stuff, and we dragged our poor, at the time, 7-year-old son, and he was behind the truck, you know, just helping us, and just, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, poor kid, he went through it. So here we are, unloading, putting stuff out, and just trying to move as fast as we can, loading, unloading, loading, unloading.
So you had a long day. You
It was a very long
day. You loaded 4 or 5 things. You got home.
Yep. Got home. Not crashed out. We kept on working. We started walking.
Oh, that's right. You had cleaned a lot of the furniture already.
Yeah.
Because you're foolish. But.
Yeah, no way. So we start cleaning out. And just when we finished, just when we finished cleaning out that nasty, dirty couch, the phone rings. The phone rings.
She was watching you. She had a spy camera.
She had a spy cam.
The phone rings. She had a microphone on the bug, and she knew they're in the couch.
It was probably like 9:30 at night. We were having dinner. We had finished having dinner, tired, because we had cleaned that couch. And it was like, I wouldn't say it was like 9-ish. We get a phone call. And it was the lady. And she starts screaming off her lungs that, you have 30 minutes, she said, to return all the stuff you stole from me.
30 minutes ain't even enough time to get the truck packed.
And I was like,
well, the thing, when you're dealing with a crazy lady, 30 minutes isn't even going to get you off the phone with her.
Yeah, and I was like, the stuff I stole from you. And she was like, yeah, the stuff you stole from me. And I was like, I did not steal anything from you. You were there. You saw everything I put in the truck. You were okay with it. And you signed off the donation receipt. So I didn't steal nothing from you. And she was like, I already spoke to my attorney. And, you know, if you don't bring back the stuff that you stole from me, my family heirlooms, my family belongings, I am going to sue you and I'm going to do this and this and that. And, you know, for a small business just starting mom and pops, I mean, it puts you in a very bad position.
Yeah.
And at that time, bad position all the way around. Like you said, even if she just went on Yelp and left you a negative review, that hurts when you only have 4 reviews.
That's
5
right.
Reviews.
Yeah.
If she goes and starts running her mouth, and then that spreads, people running their mouth spreads like wildfire.
Oh,
And however, I'm not necessarily against it. Every once in a while, I'm fine with throwing out a negative review, because I am the kind of person, and I know that there are just as many other people out there, that if a place gets a negative review, I kind of want to see for myself. I'm like, huh, I want to see what this train wreck's about. Like there's a big story of the Yelp reviewer that went into a coffee house, and I don't know where it was, and they said that this is the worst cup of coffee I have ever had in my entire life. And so that company, that coffee shop, took that Yelp review and posted it on their social media and put it on their sandwich board out front that said, "From Susan F., worst cup of, come in and get the worst cup of coffee you could ever have." And I'm like, you know what? I would totally walk by and be like, yeah, I got to see what Susan F. is all about. So you can twist it, but very rarely. It's still just, it's bad.
It is really bad, and it's the worst experience that you could have. And, you know, so this lady, she starts going on and on and on, and you don't understand who I am and my family. They're very rich. We have power, and we have attorneys, and we have this, and we're very influential, and we're going to put you in jail. And, oh, my gosh. I mean, by then, we were like, so I made a couple phone calls, and I was like, you know, what is the legal situation around here? And
you called the estate sale company.
Would have been your
liaison, really.
Right. So I called the estate company, and they were like, "No, that's absolutely, you don't have to deal with them. You didn't do nothing wrong. You were there. You picked up everything. She okayed it. She received your donation slip. Everything. She signed it off. You don't have to worry. Or, you know, if you want to go, we'll be there to witness." And the people from the estate sales were super nice. They were there. So I tell my wife, okay, we could, you know, either see what happens, sue them, or, you know, get sued, or take them to legal battles, or what are we going to do?
What's the point?
Exactly.
And at this point, I guess the biggest part of this story is that she knew where your shop was at this point.
She knew where my shop was.
So that's your Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And I thought about that because my truck, my box truck, has my business on it. I have painted it, and it says Finders Thrift and Vinyl, and it has a map on how to find it. So, and I have thought about taking that off because, unfortunately, the negative side of what I do, buying and selling storage unit, is the negative side of it is
people know exactly where you are.
I'm buying somebody else's stuff that they couldn't pay for, they couldn't keep the bills on, and I try to deal with them as best as I can, and that happens more often than not. It happens enough that
they go to your store and say, "Hey, this is my stuff. You sold."
And they know where their stuff is. They know where the storage facility is that foreclosed on them. And so all they have to do is go stand out by the door and sit there and watch and wait for the truck to come in and start clearing their stuff and then figure out where they're taking it and cause a ruckus. It's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
And again, I can't fault them for that.
Yeah.
It's their stuff.
It is.
But at the same time, pay your damn bills.
Not just that, with your box truck, you can't just, you know, stop
hide
thrift
it.
Stores and drop donations without them seeing.
Right.
And driving away.
I am a sitting duck if anybody wants to find me. They know where. But
exactly.
But I'm trying to advertise my business. So how do I? It's a 50-50. Where do you go with it? So I try to
take
not
the map
pick,
off.
Take the map off. Yeah.
I actually try to not pick up my stuff. If I buy a storage unit, I try to not pick it up the same day or the
you
next
put,
day.
Put a neon sign that says "Your crap is here."
I find that it's best if I give the crackheads of the stuff that I've just bought 2 days to come down from the high of losing their stuff, because then they get bored and move on, and they have relinquished the fact that they lost everything before I go pick up their stuff. You usually have 72 hours. I wait till that 69th or 70th hour and then go pick up the stuff and skedaddle as fast as I can.
Mm.
So you're dealing with crazy lady.
Yeah, so I'm dealing with crazy lady. So I hang up the phone and I talk to my wife, and then we're like, okay, so what do we do? And she's like, you know what? I don't want to have any trouble. I don't want to have any problems. We don't need this right now. You know what? Let's take her stuff.
Oh,
and I
man.
Was
what
like,
time is this?
It was 9:30, 10. And so I was like, are you serious? We're going to take all 5 truckloads right now? And she was like, yeah, I don't want any trouble. I don't want any problems. And I was like, so here we go.
It's probably the smartest solution to the problem. It's not the...
the best or the... I don't know it's what. I don't know if it's the smartest, but it's not the easiest for sure.
Well, I think it probably was the easiest because the opposite was that she's probably going to freak out and crazy. And she knows where your shop is. So every day she's going to be at your shop screaming for you. For how long? You don't know how long she's going to be there. Every day, every day.
It might have been easy, but it's a lot of hard work to do 10 loads in one day.
I'm not denying that. Yeah, it sucks.
And so, you know, our son is with us all the time because we can't leave him home by himself.
Yeah, he's not old enough to leave by himself.
So we can't leave him by himself. So we put him in a blanket and put him in the back of the truck, and here we go again. And as soon as we stop by at the house of the lady, she walks out screaming and yelling and just cussing us off and just harassing us and threatening us and, you know, treating us as crooks and thieves and yelling at us. And she is off the rails. It was just obvious that she was not only insane, but she was under some certain influence of something.
Medicated. Maybe either off her meds or too high of meds or on top of it or a combination of both. It's always
fun. She was violent.
Violent.
Yeah, she was.
Not
she was
physically.
She was verbally violent and abusive. And she started to throw things around. And I came to a point where I was like, you know, she's going to get physically violent. So I had to call the cops. So the cops show up. And when the cops show up, she turned into a little Bo Peep.
She was
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So when the cops got there, oh yes, officer and deputy and this and this and that, and you know, I just want my things. I just want my stuff back and this and that. And I told the officer, listen, I called for your assistance because she is off the rails. She's yelling, she's screaming, she's insulting, she's abusive, she's aggravating, and I already agreed to bring all her stuff back, stuff that she donated, stuff that I have the copies of the receipts of everything she done. And the officer told me, you don't have to bring everything. No. You don't. If she donated and she was okay, there was a verbal contract
and a written
receipt that she was okay with it, you're good.
It's interesting that you say that because it's kind of like, it's clear to me and maybe the rest of the world out there that she had played this game before. Mm-hmm. She knows how to buck the system.
Yeah.
Because she knew that if she went crazy with the police that they weren't going to listen to her. But if she sugarcoated it, I mean, obviously you get more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. So
oh, boy.
She played that well.
She played that well. So the police officer, she played me well. And so the officer said, okay, well, just let him bring everything out and I'm going to ask you to stay in your house and let the garage door, leave the garage gate open so that way he could unload and leave everything in here.
You had 5-0 stayed there the entire time, correct?
I had him stay there for a while, and then after a while, he was like, I got to leave. You know, I got to leave. So, you know, he stayed there for like 2 truckloads or 3, and then he left.
Because he's like, I thought this would be 1 or 2 trips, but he's calling in. He's like, dude, I've been here for 2 hours.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and my son was sleeping in the back. After the police officer left, then it started all over again. She started coming out, yelling, screaming, harassing, verbally abuse, you know, just foul language.
I can't believe that's so weird.
You know, she just started, you know, and F you and F this, and just started, you know, harassing and mistreating and kind of in my face. She was actually trying to get me to push her back or to, you know, because she was really in my face and you know, she was trying to provoke me.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. She was trying to provoke me, which I didn't. I kept my cool. and I just unloaded all the stuff that just left there, and we were gone. Oh, wait a minute. Before, no. So what happened, almost at the end of this, because she continued to go, oh, you're in cahoots with the estate sale people and this and that. And she had already called the estate sale people like 10 times and just aggravated them on the phone. And so what happens is that I called the estate sale people and they said, is she calling you guys? And they were like, yeah. I said, well, the police officer is right here. And so the estate sale guy came over.
Oh, wow.
He came, so he was a really nice guy. He came over and he tells the police officer, this Jose didn't do anything wrong. I was there. I was a witness. We had a deal with her. Our commitment was to sell everything, and if everything didn't sell, to clear the house out. So we contacted him. He came. He took everything, and we were going to clear out the house.
And how long have they been in business? Do you know the estate sale company?
They are very well known, and it's a legit business. Right. They're well known, bond and secured and everything, you name it.
Yeah.
Nice people. I mean, they were really nice. So he was there through all this ordeal. So when we were done, finally, we left the place. The next day, because, you know, like most people that sell used stuff were on OfferUp. On Letgo, Facebook Marketplace.
So she just wanted to try and sell it on her own.
So what happens exactly? So what she wanted is all her stuff back.
So she could try to make
so
more
she
money.
Could try to sell it the next day on OfferUp.
And you can't fault her for that, but at the same time, you have to know what you're getting into with estate sale companies. Estate sale companies there are two or three different versions of estate sale companies. And the down and dirty ones are there to clean your estate and get it out. And they're going to take pennies on the dollar. And you're not going to get a lot for your estate, but it's mostly designed for people that their house is, someone has passed.
Liquidate
and,
stuff.
Yeah, you're liquidating it because the house is for sale and it can't get through probate until the house is empty, until they can sell the house.
Yeah.
So they don't care what the value of the stuff inside is. They just want it out so they can sell the house. The other side of that is if you actually do care about the stuff inside, you have to have somebody come in that can assess it properly and try to sell it. And it sounds like she may have tried to have this company do it, but they didn't. But the sale wasn't good, which happens. I mean, if it's just a bad week, it's a bad week, and you didn't get a good clientele. You didn't get a good clientele. So any way you slice it, I don't fault her for it, other than that I don't think she did her due diligence on what she was, and the fact that she's probably crazy as well.
Yeah, well, so the next day, immediately, all the stuff that I had washed and cleaned the night before was on OfferUp, Letgo, on Facebook Marketplace.
So you basically
you're just generous.
Jeez.
You helped her out so much.
When we're done
cheese
with this podcast,
and crackers.
Hoping, when we're done with this podcast, I was hoping that maybe you could clean my couches for me.
Right,
that's the real reason why.
Let me call Gabby and ask her if she could have the vacuum cleaner ready.
We're actually not even recording right now. We're just hoping that if I give you a couple beers, you'll clean my couches.
Yeah,
for
right.
Me.
Oh my gosh!
Wow, that's amazing.
So what I get from this, as soon as someone says, "Well, I have an attorney and my family's rich, we're gonna end you," just run. Just leave.
Run.
I hear that quite a bit, like when I was taking, not necessarily taking donations, but when I deal with people who are losing their stuff, I'm going to call my attorney, and it's really weird. It's always the Tweaky McTweakertons that are the ones that have attorneys and are going to call their lawyers. I'm like, dude, you can't even afford two matching shoes, and you're going to call your lawyer? Okay. So, and that's... My story of why I stopped taking donations is isn't necessarily similar. I mean, the review that I got on Yelp, which is on an earlier podcast, is the main reason why I stopped it. But prior to that, when I opened the shop, I was like, wow, you know what? Maybe I should take donations because that's just free money for me.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, that's there's a good idea.
No such thing as free.
No, there is. There's no such thing as free. And the first, and I never announced that I was taking donations, and I never said that I wasn't taking donations. And so if somebody came in, I would gauge it individually. But the one donation, I don't know if you were, I don't know if you had moved in at that point. I think it was just me and the other vintage shop at that point. Somebody had donated, and I'm doing the air quotes right now, in front of my shop overnight, an L-shaped desk that would have put the desks that that Frankie and I donated to other thrift stores to shame. This thing was an L-shaped, and it weighed easily, I'm not exaggerating, if it weighed less than 500 pounds, I would be surprised, because it was all metal, it was all pressed wood, and it was all at least an inch and a half thick pressed wood, but it was freaking broken. One of the drawers was broken, one of the legs was broken. I was like, who donates that? And puts it like right in front of my door.
Oh, yeah.
So I couldn't even open the shop until I moved it. I broke that stupid thing down, and it took me 3 weeks to put it in the dumpster because I was afraid that if I tried to put it all in the dumpster one day,
they wouldn't take it.
It's too heavy. I didn't think that they'd be able to lift the dumpster. That's how heavy it was. So after that, I said, I am not taking donations.
It's amazing.
That's it. That's
done. The stuff that people bring to donate, you know, like a three-legged stool or a broken table or, you know, I don't know.
Well, somebody needs that. Someone can fix it.
Oh, yeah. They always tell me. They used to tell me, well, I'm sure somebody could use this. There's more to come. There's more to come. I got a lot of stories.
So, real fast, that's probably your worst donation story.
I don't know. Yeah, let me just tell you, that's one.
One of your horror
of
stories.
The many horror stories.
So flip the coin. What's one of your best donations? I know a couple of them that I was like.
Damn. So are we still good? Yeah, time. Should die, or should we do this on the next one? And you could hear.
I'm fine with that. Let's see how long this goes. Let's tease this down. So coming up next, you'll find out what Jose's.
Because I still have a couple of more horrible ones.
Yeah, we'll tease it down. Next time around, you'll hear Jose's best stories, and I'll tell you some of my best stories as well to go tit for tat, if you will. Thanks again for listening. As always, if you have any information or any comments, please like us on Facebook, Instagram.
Share.
We are now on iTunes, as I said, which is amazing. So please help us out and like us and give us some comments. Always have a great day. Later.
Adios.
Hasta la pasta.